Here is the good news that salvation from sin is provided through Jesus Christ. Receive it, trust Him, and heaven is yours. We have been reviewing the teachings of Jesus in His parable of the fish net. He said the kingdom of heaven was like a great net which was cast into the sea and drew in all kinds of fish. The fishermen sat down and separated the fish, keeping the good, throwing away the bad. And then Jesus made this application of the parable. So shall it be at the end of the world. The angel shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Now we have examined the parable part by part and drawn many spiritual lessons from it. But I want us to look at one other thing, not mentioned in the parable, but evidently a part of it. Jesus mentioned the destruction of hell of those who are wicked. He did not mention in the parable the destiny of the good fish, that is, those who are saved by grace. So let us look at their destiny. What happens to those who are saved? We go beyond the parable of the fish net to answer the question, but we do not have to go far, for the Bible is full of descriptions of the glorious inheritance awaiting the saints of God. Heaven is the term used to identify the home of the saints of God. It is the English translation of a Greek term which means to lift or to heave. It refers to that which is lifted up on high. Heaven, therefore, means that which is high above the earth. The Bible recognizes that there are three heavens. One is the air where the clouds float and the birds fly. Another is the expanse of space where the planets of the solar system are. And the third is the place of God's eternal residence and unveiled presence. The first two heavens, air and space, were created and will be dissolved one day. But the heavenly home of God will never be changed. It is eternal. Notice first, the Bible describes the inhabitants of heaven. God lives in heaven. He is said to look down from His holy habitation in heaven. He promises to hear prayer from heaven. He calls heaven His throne and the earth His footstool. Yes, God is in heaven, and that is what makes it a glorious place. But the angels are in heaven. John saw 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of angels in heaven before the throne of God. There they worship God, serve Him, rejoice at the salvation of sinners on earth, and exist to the glory of God. The deceased saints are in heaven also. At physical death, the spirit of a child of God goes directly into the presence of God in heaven. The saints are there from every nation and race and language of all the earth. And that is why dying and going to heaven is a kind of homecoming for the child of God. The Bible tells us that heaven is a place, a real place. It is as real and definite as the place where your home is today. The Bible describes it as a tangible and definite place. There will be no sin or evil in that place called heaven. The natural evils of death, sickness, pain, sorrow, hunger, thirst, infirmity of the body, or any other thing of that nature, none of it will be there. There will be no spiritual evil as temptation, failure, or any form of sin. It will be an ideal place. No wonder we grow homesick for heaven. The Bible tells us that we will enjoy productive activity in heaven. We will engage in ceaseless and glad service for the Lord. We will have opportunity to look full upon His face. We will see the glory of Jesus Christ, our Savior. For the first time, we will see Him as He truly is. The body will be resurrected and made anew. It will not suffer from weakness and limitations, it is known here. Therefore, it will be a joy to serve our altogether lovely God. The Bible tells us that we will have a glorious reunion with the saints of God there in heaven. They will include our loved ones in the flesh who have preceded us in death and are awaiting our coming to join them. It will include the saints of God who lived long ago, like Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, and we will enjoy their fellowship. There will be no sorrow about friends, relatives, or acquaintances who will not be saved. They will not be remembered. They will not come to mind anymore. We will be so overcome with the glory of God and so rejoicing at the fellowship of the saints of God that there will not come to mind anything that will mar that wonder. The Bible says that heaven is so wonderful that it is almost impossible to describe in human terms. Therefore, various figures are used to tell us what heaven is like. Revelation 21 says heaven is like a great tabernacle or temple where we can worship God. The whole scope of heaven is a place of worship, the very dwelling place of God. It will not be necessary to go to a certain place to meet God. He will be everywhere, and every place will be a place to worship Him. Revelation 21 continues that heaven is like a great city where we can be at home with God. The holy city, New Jerusalem, will descend out of heaven from God. It is a city of wonderful appearance, having the glory of God. And the light of it will be the light of a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. It is a city with plenty of space, being 1,500 miles cubed, with sufficient space for a population of more than 70 times the population of the earth. The city is sure and secure, having a wall 250 feet high, which goes 6,000 miles around the city. The city is accessible, for three gates are located on each side of it. The city is peaceful, for no death, sorrow, crying, pain, tears, night, or curse will be there. Revelation 22 says heaven is like a lovely garden. Therein is found all that is necessary to human welfare and happiness. For water, there is a river of the water of life. For food, there is the fruit of the tree of life, which bears all the year. For health, there is healing in the leaves of the tree of life. For productive labor, there is the opportunity to serve God. For fellowship, God will be there to fellowship with the redeemed of all ages. Now, how does one go to heaven? It is necessary that preparation be made now, if one would go to heaven when he dies. That preparation is made by an act of the will in which one turns from sin to God and trusts Jesus to grant forgiveness upon the basis of His death on the cross and His resurrection from the grave. That's what the Christian gospel is all about. It is the good news that salvation from sin is provided through Jesus Christ. Receive it, trust Him, and heaven is yours. Do you feel unworthy to come? Do you feel too great a sinner to be forgiven so easily? Take heart. Jesus said He did not come to call the righteous. He came to call sinners to repentance. So if you're willing to turn from your sins and place confidence in Jesus Christ alone as your personal Savior, you will be saved right now. Acquaint now yourself with Him and be at peace, for thereby good shall come to you. Father, we rejoice that salvation is possible in spite of our sins. How we thank You for Jesus Christ who took our sins and died to pay our debt. Thank You for planning such a wonderful salvation. Thank You that the offer is still extended to everyone and anyone who repents and trusts Jesus Christ. Teach us, we pray, to see ourselves as You see us and to flee to You for help. In Jesus' name, amen.